culture, when you can make changes and set a culture like Jesus did, then you'll find certain things happening that are very positive that will equate to success. And that's what we try to build. We're going to try to build that again next season and next season. Be very careful who we let into that culture to keep the chemistry, to keep them. We weren't the biggest team, but no team could stay in front of us. We were not by any means the biggest team. We played against guys from over in Europe, 6'10", 6'10", 6'9", 6'8". I'm talking about big, burly guys. They couldn't keep up with us. Are you here? God just did something with the culture. And he gets all the glory. Amen. That's just a small example of what can happen. And Jesus did that. He set the culture. All right, so everything works in the right environment. And we cannot just do cosmetic changes, traditional changes. People that lose in life and people that are victims in life are locked in the past and have an inability to embrace the future. You know anyone like that? Just locked in the past, afraid of anything that has to do with change. Sadly, but truthfully, there are people like that. Loving people, people that love God, but are afraid many times to change. Incredible opportunities are turned down sometimes because people haven't gotten out of their present. They're stuck. Opportunities from God come banging and they refuse to change. Here's a quote from Arnold Schwarzkopf. He said, "Life is a collection of seasons." People that lose in life try to hold on to a season after it's over. People that lose in life are trying to hold on to a season when it's over. In the North, you better put that winter coat on. Get out of them Bermuda shorts and that tank top. It ain't got cold. You holding on to summertime. No, but now somebody that wins at life can embrace the memories, cherish the memories, and move on into the next season. That means an attitude change, working on attitude. Question, if that's the case, why don't more people change? Amen. Nobody, now look at somebody and tell them, how come you don't change? Tom Landry, a famous football coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I used to love Tom Landry's little hat that he used to wear all the time. He was always sharp on the side of football, on the sidelines. He wasn't wearing sweats and stuff. He had a suit on. He's a man of stature. Always wore a little brim. Tom Landry. But he had a quote of how to be a winner. First of all, you have to have a clear-cut objective. What and what time frame do you want to do what you want to do? At some point in time, I promise we're going to study God's work ethic. Because God never did anything without putting a time frame on it. In 6 days, he was finished. He wasn't forever creating stuff. 6 days, he was done. 7th day, he took a rest. Kind of chilled, looked back. But he in 24-hour increments. And to be honest with you, the creation was created in 24-hour increments, 6 days. Yeah, not billions of years. And that, too, is going to be in our study on Genesis. How God said 1,000 years is as a yesterday. How God could do all of that and compress it into a 24-hour time frame. And get, say, the evening and the morning were the first day. They find fossils and bones that are billions of years old. There are people that have done the math. How many know everything in the universe is, the discoveries are based upon mathematical equations. It's all math. But they've discovered, doing certain type of quantum physics, those 15 billion years are indeed compressed. And I don't have it in front of me, but I'm going to share it sometime when I study it out and can expound on it. They have brought it into a 6,000 years. In other words, All that time they're talking about is really just 6,000 years of history, like the Bible says. And this is science that's trying to catch up with the truth. All right, so why don't more people change? Number one, you have to have a clear-cut objective. Number two, you got to get an action plan. What are you going to do? What price are you willing to pay? And number three, and this is what's important and what we grapple with in these last days where darkness prevails. Number three, you must identify resistant forces that will be present. When God blesses you, he doesn't bless you in a vacuum. He blesses you in the midst of adversity. That adversity doesn't stop God from blessing you. God spoke to Isaac to sow in the middle of a horrific famine where everything was dried up and dusty and tumbleweed. Nothing was growing. No rain had come. But God said, sow. And he obeyed God. And obedience to God's voice brought about a hundredfold harvest. While nobody else was prospering, he prospered. Tell me God can't do that. You must identify the resistant forces, the stuff that's trying to stop you from trusting, from believing, from moving forward, from making necessary changes. You know, I remember, and you know what? It's important to be able to prophesy your future. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In 1974, I have this at home. I may even bring it and show it to you. I was being interviewed for something, an award that I won in sports, and the interviewer was asking me, because I talked about my little 1968 or 67 Dodge Coronet and how I like to travel. And I said this in that article. It blessed me every time I say, this was 1974. I didn't get saved till 1975. I said, there's one part of the country that I've not been to and I want to go there, and that's Florida. I'd show it to you sometime. I said it. Little did I know I was prophesying. I didn't know I was going to be living here. I didn't know I was going to meet my wife. I know my boys were going to grow up here and all that stuff. But we's here. We must be willing to embrace change and move on to new seasons. And the reason many don't change is they don't identify resistant forces. And the reason why there aren't many giant killers, because the greater the victory, the greater the resistance. So some folk just want little victories. A little dab will do them. Just get a little pressure off of them. Have a need met. That's wonderful. You know, just enough for my table. Oh, we're getting by. We hanging in there. How you doing? I'm hanging in there. And they settle for that. God bless you. But the giant killers, those are the ones that identify the resistant forces. And now you know how to fight. Now you know what is opposing you. You see, even on a job, a lot of times you have to identify people. Everybody that smiles at you ain't for you. And, you know, I just want to emphasize this. I don't want to emphasize the negative. I just want to make us aware. Like, come on, let's touch the reality that there are resistant forces. The system is not for you. It'll suck you in and swallow you up, chew you up, and spit you out if you let it. But at the same time, there are ways we can manipulate the system. We can navigate through it and use. How many know there's good credit and bad credit? If you had $50,000 worth of credit and you weren't $50,000 in debt, but you had that credit and an opportunity for you to buy some property came up and the guy was trying to get rid of it, but it's prime. You could use that credit to to invest in something that the value is going to increase, that will eventually bring you money in while you are asleep. You pay it off in a couple years' time, and before you know it, now you got an income coming in. But you use credit. You use the system rather than the system using you. 23 and 9.96 interest on $30,000 you're going to be paying until your children's children's children. Because you didn't deal with it wisely. All right? So it's important. Losers in life and victims in life are locked in the past. There's an inability to embrace the future. Galileo was an astronomer who discovered that the earth was not the center of the universe. And he tried to persuade his fellow astronomers and comrades, and he was thrown in prison. He spent the rest of his days on house arrest. After his death and all of that, they found out that the earth was not like Galileo said. And so now everything science as we know it today, which is actually Nephilim science, but that science, they understand that the earth is not the center of the universe. It will be again when the Lord makes his home here. But he suffered. He paid a price for that, and he brought balance to the science world. I mentioned earlier the Model T, the first car. When they built them, with rings. A ring on the front of the car so that the people that bought them could tie them to a hitching post because they thought in their mind that the car might roll away like a horse. So they had the little ring on there where they could tie it to the hitching post. A car. Took some change in their attitude and their thinking. Here's another good one for you. 1937, the shopping cart, you know, the ones we push everywhere in the stores, was introduced to the grocery stores. No one bought into it. Nobody would go get a shopping cart. They had the little handbags they would carry and put their food in, so they kept doing that. In order to adapt to this, the owner of the grocery store hired people, fake shoppers, to come in and push the shopping carts around and put their food in there and go to the register and buy the food. Then people started to adapt to the change.
Thank you for joining us as we start a new series entitled Quantum Faith.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.